interviews with artists before they go on stage at the world's most iconic venues. This is Backstage with Dan Diggs. Backstage with Dan Diggs.
Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm not bad. How are you doing?
It's Dan Diggs. I'm here with none other than Rosie Frater-Taylor, one of my favorite musicians of 2021. How are you?
I'm well. It's a beautiful sunny day over here in London, which seems to put everyone in quite a good mood. So
it's funny. It lifts everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've had a bit of a run of like having to wear woolly hats and scarves, even though it's almost June. So it's lovely. It's lovely. Yeah. What about you? How are you doing?
I'm well, yeah. I'm chilling in Nashville. I'm looking at a lot of trees out the window. It's all very green here. But I'm really excited for your album too. Bloom is out now, or at least when this recording goes out, it'll be out. And I've heard it, I've listened to it. I absolutely love it. It's incredible. So thank you for blessing us with this album.
Oh man, thank you so much. I mean, yeah, it is so lovely to hear. I mean, it's been pretty much 3 years in the making, especially this last year has been very intense, releasing a lot of singles and getting a lot of feedback. And it'll be really nice to have it, finally have it out in the world, like a project that's quite old for me in a lot of ways. I guess that's the way of artists and songwriters releasing music, because it tends to be quite time consuming. So It'll be really nice to have it out, and it's really nice to hear that you're enjoying it. I'm so glad.
Of course, yeah. Well, I've been playing Think About You, played that in the February show on Dub Lab, and then just last month I played Just My Type. And it's great. I mean, you got Chris Heisen on there from Snow Poet, who I adore.
Yes.
On that track Wavy, which is great. I want to get into all the tracks I love about it, but first of all, I just want to sort of zoom back a little bit and talk about, you know, how did you get started with making music, and what were sort of like those songs that inspired you to make music in the first place?
Well, it goes back a long way. I'm sure everyone says that, but my parents are both professional musicians. So my dad is a drummer and my mum is a singer. So I've had
What kind of bands?
So funny enough, my dad has his own Buddy Rich inspired big band.
Amazing.
Which is, I know, it's insane. But they had a sort of world folk jazz poppy band back in the day, ironically, and they all tend to be the genres that I'm drawn to now, which is like the hilarious thing about it. But so that was a really sort of big formative thing for me, I suppose, just having that sort of music around the house and that sort of very like constant and strong support from both of them. I started out playing drums. So my dad gave me lessons. I was about 8 or so.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I know, there you go. And then I picked up the guitar a little bit later, and they were sort of side by side for a little bit. I enjoyed playing drums and playing guitar, and that was what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be a proper instrumentalist. But then sort of the songwriting thing came a little bit later. I discovered an artist called Ben Howard, who's... and I would like learn a lot of his guitar parts, a lot of his songs, and that sort of inspired me to start a little bit of writing. And then I sort of delved quite deep into the jazz guitar thing, be it like in purely an instrumental sense, like listening to like Wes Montgomery and George Benson. Wow. And Pat Metheny and Kurt Rosenwinkel. And I delved quite deep into that for a while, and and then I decided to study jazz guitar at uni, and I'm literally just about to finish uni now, like the 4-year degree course now, which is hilarious. So I guess the combination of the sort of Ben Howard-y influence and the jazz guitar thing. You know, I was influenced by quite a few key people who I'm gonna play a few today. One of them being Becca Stevens. I was about 16. And so it was really combining the whole jazz guitar thing with like the earlier songwriter influence, I suppose, of people like Ben Howard. And that's me in a nutshell, I would say. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And that makes perfect sense. Like listening to this album Bloom and then listening to your previous work as well, I can see all the DNA. I can see all the lineage of it. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Like, and I love that about music, right? Because it's like, it's what we listen to and it gets blended up inside of us. And then it's kind of what comes out, you know?
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah, really.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it really does feel like a reflection of like all the stuff I've been into. And I think, like you say, listening to the two albums side by side, you can tell that they were written at those different points in my life, because I was, you know, this new album has a lot more sort of soul pop influence in it, which is all the stuff I've been listening to over the course of the last 3 years or so. And then prior to that was more like jazz and world music, I suppose. So yeah.
Yeah. Before we get into this, because I know you brought along a playlist of tunes that I want to dive into. I love it. It's titled Tunes for Dan.
I think you'll find it's titled Tunes for Dan.
Tunes, that's right. but yeah, I'm excited to play that, and I want to play this this track. But first, I'm curious, you know, because when people actually study music at like a college or uni or what have you, I mean, I'm always curious, like, does it change it for you? Is it a bit like, oh, now it's all like academic? Or maybe it goes the other way and it makes everything come to life. Like, how's your experience been with that?
I think it probably varies, I would say person to person, but also, at least in my case, instrument to instrument. So for me, like the guitar, my approach to the guitar is not traditional, really. And it's very much like the way I relate to it is very ear led. And the way I relate to most music is very ear led. And to the point where, you know, I know a lot in theory, but I struggle to relate some of the stuff I learned at uni, you know, to my writing itself. So it's been an interesting one for me, because like I don't read music particularly well, and yeah, I have quite you know, poppy tastes, but I guess it's for me, rather than making it academic, it was more, I guess, like just opening my ear to sounds. So like it's all ear led. So just having a palette of sounds that we would learn about, and, you know, some I like, some I don't like, and being able to draw potentially from more palettes than the norm, I suppose, is the way I would put it.
Right. Yeah. And that's got to be invaluable too, because like, I guess if you're surrounded by people who want the same thing and are chasing the same thing out of life, it's like you can all kind of rub off each other and like introduce each other to different kinds of music. That's awesome. Speaking of different kinds of music, should we dive into this first track?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
What can you tell me about this track you've picked out that's kind of like indicative of, you know, inspiring you to make music in the first place?
Yeah. So you asked me like the first song I heard that inspired me to make music. There's so many I could choose from, but I guess like, in terms of songwriting, this tune and this album, actually, so the album's called Perfect Animal by Becca Stevens, was one that really inspired me to, like I was saying earlier, like combine the jazz and the sort of songwriter influence that I love so much, and I think she does so well. And the thing for me with this album was just how creative I felt she was being, and how she had such a unique individualistic voice, and this whole album I actually managed to catch her live very soon after I first heard the album, and so it sort of solidified her as a big influence for me in terms of her writing and her style. And I was like, yeah, this is, you know, I can draw a lot from this sense of individuality. Like I want to find my voice that combines the jazz and the songwriting and the folk and all of my influences, because she does it so impeccably. Yeah, and this track specifically, I think is great. It's I Asked, I believe, is the one I've given you to play.
Yeah, well, let's play it right now. This is Becca Stevens' I Asked, as chosen by Rosie Frater-Taylor. It's Dan Diggs. I'm here with Rosie Frater-Taylor, and that was Becca Stevens' I Asked, a sort of very influential, pivotal track for Rosie on the show today. I'm curious, you said you saw her live. Where did you catch her live?
Oh, man, it might be up there with one of my favourite gigs I've ever been to. It was so there's this theatre that's attached to the Globe, which is called the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse, and it's all sort of natural lighting. There's no sort of windows or anything, so it's all lit using candles that are hanging from the ceiling.
What?
It's insane. And I don't know how she managed to get herself a gig here, but it was just perfect, really. Sound was great, and I was just, you know, Jacob Collier popped down for a little moment. So it was an amazing setting, and she was very, very, very good. It was very, very inspirational gig for me, because I'd say like the live thing is super important for me too, and just coming from the sort of jazz background, I think it's a big part of how I like to present my music to people. And I feel like people, when they see me live, it happens a lot, and it happened for me with Becca, just it brings like a new element to the music. And so, yeah, it was sort of inspirational in that way I guess. Yeah.
That's amazing. What an iconic venue too. I mean, like, lit by candlelight, that's pretty special. Yeah, incredible. Also, because since I do a lot of these interviews backstage with the artists before they go on stage, you know, like back before, you know, the world changed with the pandemic, in LA, I was talking to Jordan Rakai before he went on stage at Hollywood Forever, or, you know, it could be...
We could be backstage
right, exactly.
Before a gig.
That's my question. So it's like, I want to pretend that for a second, right? Like, if we were recording this backstage right now, where ideally would we be?
Oh, as in like, what? Where would I like to be backstage? What venue?
It could be like a dream venue, or it could be a venue you've played in the past that's just amazing. Where would we be doing this interview?
That's a really good question. I think maybe the Union Chapel is I would love to headline, like the Union Chapel, or somewhere like the Roundhouse. But, you know, under my own name. But there's something, I've actually played at the Union Chapel before. They have a daytime session there on Saturdays. I'm not sure if they're doing it anymore, but yeah, the acoustics of the venue are something else. And you know, I've been doing a couple of gigs lately, and I've been remembering how much I love singing with backing vocals. And I realize how much of an integral part it is to my writing. I love that sound so much. And the Union Chapel would be so awesome to play, like, with like the backing vocals. So yeah.
where is that for people that are listening to this that don't know?
Oh, Union Chapel, it's a church, like massive church in London. I think Highbury and Islington. Maybe one of these days, we'll see. Laura Marling did a solo set there a little while ago, and it was very, very cool.
That's incredible. I feel, especially with those acoustics too, I mean, like, there's a reason why people like to play like that, because it's
acoustics are everything, man. Acoustics are everything.
That's amazing. Roundhouse too is one of my favorite venues. I remember, like, this is a long time ago, but for people that don't know, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was originally like where the trains would turn around in Camden. And so you could put a whole train in there, spin it around and send it on its way. And then someone realized, actually, it's round and it's good for acoustics. Let's turn it into a venue.
Maybe that's a myth, but it sounds like it could be true. I mean, it's maybe big enough, but yeah, Roundhouse, and I have a sort of, a lot of good memories at that venue. I did like a lot of the songwriting courses there when I was younger, because I do a lot for young musicians, like 18 to 25 year olds. And I also went to see Snarky Puppy there when I was like 14 or something.
What?
Which was and that was like an iconic gig, and somehow I managed to like get to the front of the queue. I didn't even turn up early. I think I was like, my friends are at the front, can you let me go, and blah blah blah, and then like, I managed to get to the front of the venue. So I was like right at the front at Roundhouse watching Snarky Puppy.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like a bit of a sort of musical memory for me, I guess, that gig. Yeah,
you've seen some amazing people in some amazing venues. I mean, that's incredible. That's a great, you know, CV of gigs thus far. I mean, come on.
I mean, that's great. It's I'm excited to get back to it, really.
Yeah, and so these gigs you've got coming up, I mean, we can talk about this at the end too, but I'm curious, you've just said you've been playing a couple of gigs. How was it getting back on stage after all this we've been through?
God, I can't decide whether it was more strange to play a live stream show or to play in front of all of these people again after such a long time. It was because I had my album launch on Monday. A few days ago now. And the energy was insane. You can tell people are like craving it, and it was a really nice audience of people to play to. It did feel quite cathartic. It was really nice, yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Well, hey, I know that's there's more of those coming up, and I'm excited for everyone to just get back out. Should we talk now about, you know, bringing us up to present day, an artist that you're, you know, currently really into that you want to put people onto? Let's hear it.
I think I'm gonna go with because I gave you two for this, because I listen to so much music these days, especially over the last year.
Tell me who you're gonna go for, but I was gonna say, do you mind if we just play both?
We can play both. Let's play both, that's fine,
because they're both so good.
I would love to play Chris's tune, which is, so he has a band called Snow Poet, which are very London based, doing the folk jazz pop thing, which is, I'd say, one of my sort of key companions and teammates in London, because he's obviously played piano on some of the tracks on the new album, which are heavily inspired by a lot of Snow Poet stuff. And they've like released a new album, which is just so beautiful. And Chris is a very talented producer, very unique producer. And so this is my favorite track from their new album, is called The Wheel. So yeah, we should play that one.
Let's play it. It's Dan Diggs with Rosie Frater Taylor, just playing some tunes, just casually hanging out, talking about her new album Bloom, which is out now. And you've got another favorite song that we have to give a little bit of a spin to. What can you tell me about this one?
Yeah, well, she's, I feel like I'm a bit late to the party with this gal. So her name's Madison Cunningham. I'm not entirely sure where she's based. You don't happen to know, do you?
I think she's from Costa Mesa in California.
Right. She does have a tune called LA on this new album, so I wasn't sure. But she's very folk Americana vibes. And I've caught a few of her videos of her just messing around on the guitar, and I'm like, oh wow, you're very, very, very good. And I was like, I should probably listen to your music, because I'd heard about her sort of briefly. But yeah, she's got an album out at the minute. I think it's called Where You Are Now. Where We Are Now. Who You Are Now. No, Who Are You Now. That's what it's called.
What We Are Now, Why We Are Now, yeah.
I mean, it could be any of them. Same thing. But it's very, oh man, it's all the kind of stuff that I love. It's super guitar-led, super groovy. She's got a beautiful voice, like really lyrically compelling. And my favourite tune from this album is called Pin It Down. So we should play that.
Amazing. Let's play Pin It Down. Before we give it a spin though, what should people listen out for in this? Like what is like that you like about it especially?
I think there's like the intricate sort of guitar lines that set up the verses and the choruses and the different sections. And man, like the drum sound is very, very, very good.
Let's listen out for it. Let's play it right now. It's Dan Diggs with Rosie Frater Taylor. Playing some tunes. I love all of these, and like I was saying before, I completely hear the DNA of this new album Bloom and everything that goes into it, and just kind of putting all these songs in the blender, and we, you know, with all the life experience and everything else that sort of, you know, makes your sound. I'm interested as well, like, you know, you've picked another song here with a story behind it, and I absolutely love this track. This is just timeless for me. This, it's funny because I was playing it before we chatted and I'm like, this sounds like it could have come out yesterday. It hasn't aged a day, right?
Tell me about it. I mean, such a unique, like, similar to the Becca stuff, such a unique vibe to it. But yeah, this one, because it's interesting that you said, like, oh, a tune that has a story behind it. Because, like, and we were also talking about, you know, where I sort of first came to music and, you know, my first sort of influences. And this is definitely one. So when I was a kid, I'm an only child, we used to go on holiday to the English countryside, to this massive country house, and they had like a CD collection there, and like there's no one around, and so, you know, I would spend a lot of time as a little kid just, you know, with my parents, and like every day for that holiday, they just played this album, the 07 album, like Simple Things, booming it, because we're obviously in the countryside, there's no one around, like through the whole house, like out into the garden. And it made me think, like, about how this, the sound of this album and like the writing has probably had quite a significant subliminal impact on me and my writing, because you know, I'm still very much drawn to it, and I can hear, like you say, I can hear some of that stuff in the writing, you know, that I'm doing today. So it's kind of crazy, but yeah, I think I was maybe like 7 or something, but it's, wow. You know, I can still like think of the memory of me listening to this album on this particular holiday. So yeah, and yeah, it's called Destiny. I just love the vocal on this track. I think it's so good. Yeah.
Amazing. Let's play it. 07 Destiny. That was 07 Destiny. Sia on the vocal, right? I mean,
I know. It's
sounding
mental.
So good. And again, like we were saying, hasn't aged a day. That album, actually, Simple Things. I mean, that's kind of my go. I mean, it's a lot of people's go-to chiller album, but for good reason, right? Mm. It is just timeless. That's incredible.
Yeah. Such a great sound world, and yeah, chill out album. That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
that's incredible. I want to talk about some tracks off your album now too. That's cool. Bloom is out now, and I gotta say, you know, like I said, I played, you know, Think About You, Just My Type, love that. You've got a Seal cover on here as well. Crazy.
I do indeed.
Yeah, and then. I believe there's a Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac.
That's well. It, exactly, that's it.
Yeah, incredible. So all that's in the mix as well. But my very, very favourite tune, I have to say, is Better Days. And I know this is like, you released this in late 2020. But for me, it was listening to it, it was just like the sort of the Joni Mitchell vibe. But then at the end, it goes full George Benson. And you're kind of like sweating. And I just took me to another level. I was just like, this is incredible. Like, and you know, I love George Benson. And I'm not sure if you, I don't know if you know the New Rick and Soul project that he did with Masters at Work. Anyway, came out in 97, long time ago. One of my favorite albums of all time. But he has a track on there called You Could Do It, Baby. And the whole sort of, you know, I think it's like 9 minutes long, but a good 5 minutes of that 9 minutes is just him scatting and playing guitar, and I don't want to hear anything else. It's just incredible.
I know exactly, yeah. That the track you're talking about, my manager Eric, who you know quite well, he
love
sent
Eric.
It to me.
Love Eric,
shout out Eric. Yeah, and he just one day, actually pretty recently, he sent that track to me, and it's been, yeah, I have been listening to that quite a lot, so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's so cool, isn't it?
Amazing.
But yeah, George is he's a big, you know, jazz guitar influence on me, but also just in terms of his sort of his energy and his vibe and his, you know, doesn't take things too seriously, like he's always having like an absolutely great time. I think that's important. Yeah, so I just love George so much, he's great. But yeah, I guess, yeah. On Better Days, that is sort of, that's, there's a couple of scatting solos on the album, but yeah, I guess how did I feel when I was writing it? I that one actually we played live quite a few times before I put down the recorded version. And so when we play it live, we have a bass solo and guitar solo. So it wasn't really a conscious thing to be like, when I was putting it down, oh, I want a guitar solo in this. It's just like, this is how I did it live. So we might as well just do it in the same way. But yeah, like, I know what you mean about the Joni Mitchell thing as well. It's those chords are quite Joni Mitchell-esque, definitely.
Would you mind if we play it now to let people?
Of course. Yeah. Have you got the radio edit, or have you got the full bass solo version?
I got the full shebang. So
let's do it. Let's put the full shebang on.
Absolutely love that track. One of my favorites. From Rosie Frater-Taylor from her new album Bloom. I know we got to wrap this up, but I'm curious, you know, what's the rest of 2021 hold for you? I know you got a couple of gigs coming up. Are we writing? Are we doing more things? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, like, we've got a few gigs. We've got a few gigs. So I'm at Ronnie's.
What? Yeah, I saw that. Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah, I know. It's insane, isn't it? I'm very, very excited. So that's on the 9th of September. I'm at Ronnie's, and that's playing like all original stuff. What else am I doing? I'm playing a couple of festivals. There may be some other stuff in the works. But you'll just have to keep an eye out. But in terms of, I've spent a year like releasing music, me and Eric. So I think we're both like very keen to do some writing. Well, he's not going to do the I'll do the writing. I'm very, very excited to do some writing, do some new stuff. Like, I was tallying up like all of my demos that I have on my phone, and there's a lot already. And so yeah, I'm really excited to develop those over like the coming months and work with some people. Yeah, I've got a lot of exciting stuff. It's all very exciting. Yeah,
that's cool just to hear about, like, you know, it all starts from those voice notes and voice memos and just seeing what they turn into.
Exactly.
Are we thinking about a new album already? Are we going to let this, you know, sit for a little bit, or anything you can
tell? Well, there's a new album, like, it's, you know, it's already on the way. As soon as this one's out, it's like, yeah, album number 3 is going to be started.
Wow, never stops. That's awesome.
I know.
I was thinking too, like, any sort of remixes on the horizon or anything you can talk about?
Ooh.
You know what? Eric, like, told me it was fine. Eric said it was fine.
He said it was fine.
No.
Oh, no.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
But... Well, I would love to. There's a few people I have in mind who have... So, like, do you know Fred Robinson? Have you heard of him? Yeah. So I'm really interested to get him to maybe work on something on Bloom. And there's a few other people, but we'll keep to ourselves for now.
Yeah. Well, hey, so good to talk to you, Rosie. Thank you so much for making the time.
Oh, no worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And again, you know, we'll have to do this when the world opens up, and we'll be backstage. At Union Chapel.
Yeah, we'll be backstage at Union Chapel.
it's again.
In the diary.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, that was awesome. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye.